With me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We're back into our, we're getting started with our series in Galatians. We're talking about abolishing legalism. And so that's the underlining theme when you go through the book of Galatians. And this is what the Apostle Paul dealt with to all of those churches in the Galatian region in Asia Minor. And so when we go through the book of Galatians, we're going to be dealing with some hard things to understand. And we're going to be talking about doctrines and phrases that you may not know. And I don't apologize for it, because if you've been a Christian longer than 6, 8, 10, 12 months, you ought to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And if you're growing, then that means you have a little more understanding of what the Bible has to say, right? The writer of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he says this in the NLT. You've been believers so long now, and I believe you could do your research on that. I think it was about 4 to 5 years is what he was talking about. But he says, you've been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. See, it's not just the pastor's job to teach you. Amen? Okay, that's what discipleship is all about. You'd be pouring your life into somebody else to teach them. So he says that you've been saved for so long now, you should be teaching other people. But instead, you need somebody to teach you again all the basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk because you can't eat solid food. So it's not my job to spoon feed you in a high chair. Oh, let me give you some, maybe here's a little God's Word. Here you go. Okay. It's your job to go home and learn more on your own. I am to add to what you're learning. Amen? Okay. And I get it. People are at different levels of their spiritual growth. You're going to know that. So if you just got saved last year, you are going to be at a different spiritual level than Pastor Matt or someone else. So here's the idea. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through 16 in the NLT, Peter says this, and remember that our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So they may not understand the gospel, they may not understand all of the doctrines, but God's patient with these people. And this is what our brother Paul, who also wrote to you the wisdom of God, that God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. And Peter says some of his comments are hard to understand. Some of that stuff's hard to understand. And even as a pastor who have studied and you know, talk about having your doctorate, man, the more I study, the more I know I don't know. And it's amazing. You just spend your life learning this stuff. But that's what God asks us to do. It's a continual growth. You need to be growing. But he says some of this stuff's hard to understand. But here's the point. Peter says those who are ignorant and unstable, they're going to twist his letters to mean something quite different. And so just as they do the rest of Scripture, and this will result in their destruction. This is one of the reasons why God has given pastors to protect the flock. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, the NLT. Man, this must be NLT day. He says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you can get out of it, but because you're eager to serve the Lord. And so, this is why we're here. Because God gave, matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. There's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's pastors, and there's teachers. And here is their responsibility. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do God's work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So you come here to church, we teach you, train you, and equip you so that you can go into the world and give God glory in everything you do, building the church up. And so that's part of our job. And so part of that, I need to be very careful, because there's going to be ignorant people, there's going to be unstable people that are going to try to creep into God's church, and they're going to try to twist the Scriptures. And they're going to try to lead you folks captive, make you slaves to legalism. And that's not, man, we got to be careful. So, I had a gentleman who was told one time that he could not pray in a church because he had a beard. Amen. So as we go through Galatians, think of that underlining thing of freedom. We're talking about freedom. Freedom in Jesus. But there's a little bit of confusion when we understand freedom. When we talk about freedom in our culture today, people think that freedom means that you're free to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, say whatever you want, whenever you want, and they think that that's freedom. But that's not freedom. That's not biblical freedom. That's literally deception. When we talk about an unsaved person or someone who has never believed on the Lord Jesus or accepted Christ, has never participated in salvation, that person is not free to do what they want. They are free to do whatever sin they want. They are free to choose whatever sin they want to do. And the only freedom they have is to choose their sinful master. That's the only freedom that they have. They are bound in sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they are a slave. They're a slave to sin. And you are free to choose what sin you want to do. But nevertheless, you are a slave. They are not free. You can try any kind of cult. You can try Buddhism. You can try Hinduism. You can try Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Roman Catholicism, whatever it is. They all offer some kind of freedom. Freedom from guilt, freedom from problems, freedom from life, the world, whatever. But they are a lie. The only place that you can get freedom from, or I should say, the only person that you get freedom from is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, Christ has made us free. All right, look at verse 1. Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or through men, but through the Lord Jesus and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, we talked about in Ephesians 4:11 that God gave apostles. And so we need to know what an apostle is because it raises the question of whether or not we have those today. So the word apostle is from the Greek word apostolos. And it means a sent one. And it means a messenger. I mean, apostle. So all those things encompass apostolos. A sent one, a messenger, or an apostle. And it's used in different ways in the New Testament. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23, Paul says, if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if the brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. And that word messengers is apostolos. It's where we translate apostle in Galatians, what Paul's talking about. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus used it in John 13:16. He said this, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent, one who is sent. That is the word apostolos, greater than he who sent him. So Paul's talking about in Galatians, not the general sense of an apostle, somebody who is sent or somebody who is just a messenger. Matter of fact, the word angel is also messenger. So there's angelic beings who are messengers. Moses was called an angel. Some of the folks in the New Testament use that same word that we translate angel. They're messengers. But here Paul is talking about one of the 13 special apostles the Lord Jesus Christ called out. The 14 if you count Judas, but when he passed away, somebody else took his place. So there are general apostles that you could say. Matter of fact, in Acts 14, verse 14, it says, but when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas was never listed in any of the apostles, was he? No. But is he a messenger? Sure. Because Barnabas and Paul were sent to the Gentiles. One who is sent. Okay, so they use that word. So there are general apostles, but he wasn't one of the special 12 that Jesus called out. Just a general apostle. We have some today that call themselves some special apostolic succession, which is not biblical. But the apostle Paul was specifically chosen by Jesus Christ to be that apostle. In Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So God called him out special to be an apostle. So you'd say, well, if people are messengers or people who are sent in a general sense, apostle, what about these special apostles that the Lord Jesus selected? Well, there was some kind of requirement for that. And so if you don't know the requirement, you might not know that we don't have apostolic succession today. In Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, Luke writes for us, "Therefore, of these men, since Judas had been dead, the Old Testament psalm said that somebody would take his place. So to fulfill Scripture, they were going to replace him." And in that apostolic type of person had to have some requirements. And he said, of these men, there were two Matthias and I forget the other guy. But those that accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day that Jesus was taken from us. And one of those must be a witness with us of his resurrection. So number one, he had to be taught by Jesus. Number two, he had to be alive during the days of Jesus. And number three, he had to have seen the risen Christ. And all of those apostles that Jesus picked out specifically had done those specific things. And so when it came to the apostle Paul, he saw Jesus. Did he not see Jesus on the road to Damascus? Okay, did Jesus not teach him? He sure did. And so he met all of the requirements, and Jesus said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. So he was a special apostle like Peter and all of the other 12. And so, but when it comes to apostles today, we don't have special apostles. We don't have people, because you weren't alive when Jesus was alive. Jesus didn't specifically teach you, and you've never seen the risen Christ, right? Okay, well, there's the requirements. So you're not one of those special apostles. But you may be a sent one, you may be a messenger in a generic sense, and that's okay. It's kind of like the word deacons, right? There were deaconesses in the New Testament, right? Well, sure, can we have deaconesses? Sure. Anybody that wants to come alongside the pastor and stir up dust so that you can do the work of the ministry, not a problem. You just will not have a woman in authority over a man. Amen? Okay. The two of you got that? All right. Hopefully that was one of my leaders, I think so. All right, back to Galatians. So Paul is trying to back up his authority, right? Because he was one of the ones that were persecuting the church, right? So he's trying to back up his ministry saying, hey, I have authority from the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the behalf of Jesus Christ, I am giving you all this information in the name of Jesus. Listen to what I have to say. So in verse 2, he says this, Galatians 1, verse 2. And all of the brethren who are with me to the churches at Galatia. It wasn't one specific church. It were all these churches that were spread throughout the region of Galatia near Asia Minor. And so he was trying to tell the church not to get caught in legalism. When you accept Christ, Christ took all the standards. You are set free from any standard of having to do anything to be accepted before God. Look at verse 3 to 5. He says this, now grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory and forever. Amen. The gospel has nothing to do with works. There is nothing that you can do to gain God's favor. Do you understand that? Nothing you do is going to gain God's favor. No amount of works will ever make you good enough. And I talked about this last week, and I want you to understand this. No matter whether you're 100% obedient to God's word, God is not going to love you anymore. Do you get that? Whether you are 100% obedient to God's word, he will not love you anymore. And whether you never follow a single thing, God will never love you any less. That's the mystery of God's love for us. Has nothing to do with my love for the Lord Jesus. It has to do with God's love for me. And there's a huge difference. So when we talk about not doing works, this is one of the good passages Paul says in Romans 4, 5. Matter of fact, Galatians comes right after Romans, and they're both tied in together. They both denounce legalism and rules and regulations. It's all about faith in the Lord Jesus. So Romans 4, 5 says this in the New King James, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. This is the doctrine of imputation. Christ's righteousness is imputed to my account. And has nothing to do with what I've done, except believe on the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, I think the NLT says it just a little better. Romans 4, 5, it says this. But people are counted as righteous. You're declared as righteous. Not because of your work, not because of anything that you do, but because of your faith in God who forgives sinners. Amen? Amen? What a beautiful verse that is. I don't know any other way to explain the gospel than that. Your faith in God who forgives sinners. And what Jesus did is death, burial, and resurrection. Now, the gospel is so amazing that even a child can accept Jesus. That's the beauty of it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, oh, that's the one I missed. I'm sorry, Nathan. That's the one I missed. That's my bad. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul says this, but you must continue in the things that you have learned, and be assured of knowing that of who you've learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That word childhood is from the Greek word brephos. And you know what it means? It means a baby. It means infant. Who can be saved? Well, Paul declares it's a child at a very young age. The gospel is a simple message, amen? And so anybody can be saved, up to a child, an infant. I don't know how old that is. They have to understand their sinfulness and that Jesus died for them. But a lot of children can understand that. That's why salvation can come to them. So easy that a child can be saved. Now, any faithful pastor or teacher of the Scriptures, you are both a proclaimer of the truth, but you're also a defender of the truth. As we go forward in 2021, we're going to make an aggressive offense to take the gospel to the world. And at the same time, we're going to play defense to take back our church. You know those churches that have those little corny cliches? Me and Matt were talking about it. 2021, we're taking back church. He's going to be the muscle, I'll be the brains. We're taking back church in 2021. So be prepared. That's going to be our theme. We're taking back church. So it's kind of like soccer or maybe basketball is probably a better way to do that. You're on both offense and defense. You have to give the gospel, but you also have to defend it. Somebody's going to steal it from you. So you've got to play offense and defense. You're constantly taking the gospel to the world, but you also have to defend that. You don't want unstable and ignorant people come in and twist those scriptures. That's why it's important to know. That's why you're supposed to be growing. Because there's a lot of people that'll come in, that'll creep in, and they will lead you captive. And so that's what we're here for, to proclaim the truth, but also to defend it. Don't let anybody tell you that you have to do anything to obtain salvation. Except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's it. You're not accepted based off anything else. You don't have to wear a suit and tie to be saved. And if you want to, that's your choice. You don't have to have the King James only. The Apostle Paul, contrary to some belief, did not have the King James Bible. I've heard some people say if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. Paul was around, you know, died before 70 AD. King James come around 1611. So you do the math. I wasn't very good in math. I had to have help, even in college, but I think I can calculate that. Listen, you don't even have to have Baptist in your church name to, oh, that's the one true church. I heard a joke about somebody who went to heaven and they were apostolic or, you know, just non-denominational, whatever. And they were in the elevator with St. Peter and they go, oh, we're coming across the third floor. Shh, keep it down. Why? Why do we got to be quiet? Well, this is the floor with the Baptists and they think they're the only ones here. Anyway. But listen, it's important to understand nothing that you do is going to make you accepted before God. What Christ did is what makes you accepted. It's not what you do or don't do. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. And he says that because in the Old and New Testament, dogs were nothing good. They were the foulest, most disgusting creature that ever came about on the world. So where the Bible talks about a dog, it's not talking about a good animal. It's not a domesticated pet. They were horrible, horrible animals according to them. So if Paul come to your house today, he'd probably be a little perturbed that you have a dog as a pet, because it wasn't good. He said, beware of these people. Beware of these dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. There is nothing that you can do in your flesh to be accepted before God. Do you know that? That's Old and New Testament. Matter of fact, Isaiah says that. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We are like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is like what?
Filthy rags.
So what you think you do in the flesh is nothing. And Paul understood that. He understood that there's nothing that you can boast in. Nothing. Matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he goes on to say, circumcised on the eighth day, he was like, you want to talk about boasting? Let me boast. Let me give you a boast. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. That was according to the law. I was of Israel. Oh, that's God's chosen nation. I was part of the apple of his eye. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, which meant he understood the Hebrew language, Aramaic and Greek, because most of the Jews, they didn't know Hebrew anymore. So they had to translate the Old Testament into Greek so that all the Jews could read it. But he was like, oh, I was a well-educated man. I had my doctorate. I know Hebrew, I know Aramaic, I know Greek, I know all this stuff. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was one who knew the law, who wrote the law, the doctrine, all of those things. Concerning zeal, he said, I love the Lord so much, I wanted to persecute the church because I thought I was doing God a favor. Concerning righteousness, if keeping the law was righteousness, Paul said, I was blameless. I was perfect. According to the law, I was perfect. And then verse 7 and 8, he goes on to say this. But what things were gained to me, these I have now count loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. He said, all that education I had, all of the circumcision, keeping of the law, being a Pharisee, doing what I thought was all of those legalistic standards, he says, is now a bunch of poop. That's what the word rubbish translates to. Yeah, the dung heap. Your legalistic standards of having to wear a suit and tie, King James only, you got to do this, you got to do that, it's nothing but a bunch of poop. The only thing that's important is your knowledge and your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Having Christ far surpassed anything. And when he accepted Christ, all those things become realized to the Apostle Paul. He didn't have to keep the Sabbath. He didn't have to worship on Sunday. He didn't have to be circumcised. He didn't have to do the stuff in the law. Because Jesus eliminated all those standards to be accepted by God. They thought that what they did made them accepted by God. He said, nope. Having Christ far surpasses all those legalistic standards of Judaism. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. I'm free in Jesus. That's all I need. That's an amazing thing. So the Jews were trying to add all of this law to grace. Oh, well, you can accept Jesus, but you have to do all this stuff too in order to be saved. And Paul says, no. Nope, that's not it. Matter of fact, in Mark chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus said this. He said, no one who puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskin, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. He's talking about the new covenant, which is in his blood, which is described as wine. And so he's using the picture that his new covenant of faith in his blood doesn't have anything to do with the law. New wine, which is the new covenant, when it ferments, it begins to swell. Old wineskins, see, when you put new wine in new wineskins, when the wine ferments and it swells, the new wineskins begin to swell and get stretched out. Okay, now they're stretched out. So as being stretched out, you put new wine in that old stretched out wineskin. When it begins to stretch even further, what's it going to do? It's going to burst. Now you lose the wine and you lose the wineskin. So they're both no good. So what Jesus is trying to say in an illustration, a pictorial language, is you can't have the Old Testament law and the New Testament covenant of faith in his blood. They don't go together. You can't have both. Salvation is available through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't mix it with anything else. And the Jews were saying that you have to keep that old standard of the Judaistic system. You got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to do all these things. And Jesus said, nope, it's just what I did. You just put your trust in me. John chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus says this, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved through faith, Paul says in Ephesians 2. John chapter 8, verse 32, he says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from every legalistic standard. Listen, when Jesus saved me, what did he set me free from? Let me put this out there because a lot of people are confused about this. You're either a slave to one of two people. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a slave of sin, you will die and be separated eternally in hell. So to live in this life as a sinner without Christ, all you are is a slave to sin. And the only thing that you can do is pick and choose the sin you want to do. Pick and choose the sinful master you want to worship. But when Jesus Christ sets you free, now I don't have to be in bondage to sin no more. Now I can be pleasing to God 100%. I can do whatever God wants me to do because I'm now no longer in bondage to all of those standards. Amen. I'm free to obey Jesus however he wants me to. But when it comes to salvation, don't ever think you did anything for your salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:29, he says this in the NLT. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. And therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. We talk about pride. Pride's in the Bible, and that's the word right there. It's translated pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the same word there for boast. So Paul says, if you want to have pride, don't have pride in yourself, because it has nothing to do with you. The only boast you can do is in the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that did the work. All you did is accept it. All you did is believe on it. Does that make sense? So stop thinking legalistically God's the only one that can save you. It's not about works. Stop trying to be accepted by God by what you do. Jesus has made you accepted. Amen? Amen. In Luke chapter 18, verse 11 and 12, Jesus said this. The Pharisee stood and he prayed with himself. And he goes, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. These extortioners and these unjust, these adulterers, or even this tax collector. He goes, oh, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, we're so righteous. We serve you so much. Has nothing to do with what you do. It has to do with your faith in Jesus. You know, we're all sinners. You know, even after salvation, we all sin. We're still horrible people. But now we're just made right with God, right? I'm accepted based on what Jesus did. Man, are you living back in bondage to slavery? Because thinking about, hey, I come to church every Sunday, that makes me good with God. No. Hey, I say this same prayer over and over and over again, I must be accepted to God. No. I wear a suit and tie. I read the King James. Nothing of what you do makes you acceptable before God. You think by doing those things that God's going to love you more? He can't. Because of who God is how much he loves us. The only way that you are accepted before God is by your faith in Christ. Period. And Jesus says, when you come to the truth will set you free. It sets us free. And then you are freed from the bondage of serving sin, and now you can serve a better master. Are you serving that master freely? Or are you still serving the old master? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you, just Lord, for your word that guides and directs our steps. And Lord, we could serve you much freely if we didn't have these legalistic standards that have been put on us by man-made traditions and all of these things. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that as we understand your word more and more, may you make us look more and more like Jesus. That's part of the process of our salvation. We know that in Jesus you have made us accepted. And it's nothing that we do, but as children of your, we want to be more obedient to you. And now we can be because of what Jesus has done. So there's a difference between a legalistic standard and our love for you and us wanting to do more for you because we love you. There's such a big difference, and we need to understand that. Father, we love you, Lord, and we just commit this invitation to you, and we pray that you'd have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?